It's an incredible privilege to share this morning. It's not often that I have this incredible privilege, and for the leadership, I really count it an incredible, incredible honor. And I really want us to hear what God Himself is saying to us. I don't want it just to be something that just tickles our ears and then we go away and we're not the same. It's an incredible privilege to share here this morning. It's an incredible, incredible privilege. You know, the last couple of weeks, you know, just to let you know where I've been, you know, with Dawn, we were in a church about maybe 3-4 weeks ago. Was in a church in Cape Town. It was 4 years old. Then 3 weeks ago, there was a church, we went to a church in Port Elizabeth that was 3 years old. Then it was 2 weeks ago, we were at a church in Scottsboro, down in the south coast. And this church had what they call a transition that took place of leadership. They haven't even been, the new guy and his wife have not even led the church for 1 year. And we had the privilege to do that transition last year. And then I have a couple of days where I can just have a bit of a time where I call it just to pause and just to recharge. And then I want to let you know that this coming week, I'm off to a place called Richards Bay. And then it's off to Richards Bay, and then it's to pastors in KwaZulu-Natal pastoring churches. And then from there, it's off to Upington. And then from there, it's off to Bloemfontein. And then from there, it's off to Potchefstroom. And then it's there off to a place called Hole in the Wall in 5 weeks' time with 50 pastors from the country. Let me just pause there. And while I'm sharing all these kinds of things, it's an incredible honor that this church releases us to go and do this translocal work in all that context. Because I want you to know, church, you are a part and parcel of that. You are a part and a parcel of that. You are in partnership with all that's going on there. It's absolutely incredible. But I want you to tell you something. I just cannot go unless I've heard the words of the Lord. I am so daunted. I don't take this for granted. This year, I've celebrated my 41st year as a Christian. Born again for 41 years. Led churches for 26 years. One for 9 months and one for just over 25 years. Been in full-time work for 36 years. Never, ever taking it for granted. I am daunted by the task. But there's a longing in my heart. This is what I want you to hear. There's this longing when there are times when I just have breaks, and I just recharge. I dig my wells. I spend time with Jesus. I spend time with the Father. I spend time with the precious Holy Spirit, child of God. I want to talk about this aspect of hearing God's voice. But the area that I want to tackle this morning is the area of where we hear God's voice is from our hearts. Our hearts need to be prepared to hear the voice of God. I want us to see some of the scriptures that I want to share this morning. And the first one I want to actually go to I want to use this as a foundation as I share the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus, not the words of many. This is just a foundation, because really I'm talking about this morning about hearing God's voice. But hearing God's voice, friends, from the heart, that's what I want to tackle on, this aspect of hearing God's voice from the heart. Because, friends, if we don't hear God, if I don't hear God, friends, I have nothing to say. I want to be a person who hears God's voice ongoingly on a daily basis. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through to verse 27, as I just lay this foundation, the words of Jesus, he says, anyone who listens to my teaching, listens to my teaching. You listen with your ears, child of God. We listen with both our ears. Not with one ear. We listen with both our ears. And when I'm talking about these ears, and I'm going to talk about listening, it's not just your physical ears, child of God. We are talking about hearing God. This is what I want to tackle. This aspect of helping us how we can hear God is hearing God from the heart. From the heart. Deep inside. From the heart. This is very, very important. But just listen to the words of Jesus. Anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys them. So when God speaks to us, as I lay these foundations, they're so important and they're worthy to be repeated over and over again. God wants a people who hear His voice and obeys His voice. Hears His voice and obeys His voice. Don't be critical of God. Don't be in an interrogation session with God. Just obey Him. He requires our first time obedience. The love language of God, friends, is obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." God's love language is obedience. He requires our total obedience. And then He says that you'll be a wise person. Crossing Church, God wants us to be wise people. Like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Though the rains come, I love the story. Though the rains come and the torrents and the floodwaters and the winds beat against that house. Friends, it's not if storms come, it's when storms come. It's inevitable, friends. Storms are going to come our way. God has not promised us a life free from storms, but He has promised us perfect peace in the midst of our storms. You've got to get that, child of God. Because it's in the storms that determine, friends, what foundation you and I are building on. So let's just read on. And then it says it won't collapse because it is built upon the rock. Who's the rock, friends? It's Jesus. Verse 26, but anyone who hears my teachings and ignores it and doesn't put it into practice, friends, the Bible says they are foolish. God doesn't want us to be foolish. Like a person who builds his house on sand, and when the rains and when the storms and when the floods and the winds beat against that house, it falls with a mighty, mighty crash. God wants you and I to hear His words and to obey His words. Hearing God from our hearts. How can you and I hear God? How can you and I hear God's voice? When Jesus was with us, for example, in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, Jesus says something like this. He often said this. He said, "He who has an ear, he who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear." Mark chapter 4, verse 23 says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." What does it mean to have ears to hear? Jesus was not referring to our physical ears. Jesus was not referring to our physical ears. He was referring to an inner condition of our hearts. We have to hear God from our hearts, child of God. You've got to hear God from our hearts. There's a beautiful story, and it's about Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. Reading from verses 5 and just touching on some verses right through to verse 10. It talks about this guy, Solomon. He's a young guy. He's a young king. David has handed over the leadership to Solomon. And it says this, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream and said, 'Ask whatever you want from me and I will give it to you.'" I want to ask that kind of question, friends. If God had to speak to us in the night, and you heard His voice, and He asked you to say something like this, "You can ask for whatever you want, and I will give it to you." I want to find out, child of God, what would it be? What would it be? I asked that question once in the Great Lakes, and most of them responded, they would ask for money. Like you and I. Whatever the case may be. Or we'd ask for this, we ask for that, but just listen to this. But in verse 7 it says, Now, O Lord, this is Solomon talking. He says, "Now, O Lord," verse 7, it says, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or to number. So give your servant," notice this, watch this, "give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" And the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. Verse 9, Solomon's request, "Give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish right from wrong." If you and I had the time, friends, to go into the Hebrew of that, the Amplified Bible says, a hearing heart. That's what I want to talk about. A hearing heart. A hearing heart. We need to hear God from our hearts, child of God. And I want to tell you something, and I want to share as I talk with you some of the my own personal journeys and my own personal walk with Jesus. I love Jesus so much. He's everything to me. He is everything to me. Before I stand and minister to you in public with people, my first priority is to be with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, with Him in private, alone. Not public first, friends. Private, alone. I learned that from Jesus. I learned that from Jesus. We're going to see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus, friends, could not say anything. He says, I can do nothing by myself. I only do what I see my Father doing. The words I speak, they're not my words, they're the words of the Father. So Jesus had a devotional life. He had a time with the Father, friends, before he had time with the people. It's very interesting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, in the language of Jesus, Jesus talks about when you pray, he says you must close the door behind you, go into an inner room, and you must pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I ask the question, listen to this, friends. He talks about close the door. Why do you have to close the door? You and I need to close the door, friends, from the sounds and the sight of this world. You and I need a time, friends, in our Christian walk on a daily basis where you and I shut the door, friends, and in a room. Every Christian ought to have an inner room, child of God. An inner place, a place where you are with the Lord and you shut the door. And I want to encourage you, child of God, also where you are alone with Him. I understand about corporate meetings. I'm not talking about those prayer meetings. I'm talking about when there's no music, where there's no Reza, where there's no Ray, where there's no nothing, there's no band. It's just you and Jesus on your own, child of God. You shut the door. You close that door, friend, from the sounds of this world and from the sight of the world. There is so much distraction, child of God. It's not easy. But child of God, let it be something of a godly discipline. You know, Jesus talks about we must make disciples. A disciple is a disciplined one. Child of God, I cannot tell you how important that is for my Christian walk in life. I've got nothing to say. There are churches, there are doors opening up left, right, and center. I go around in my bag, I've got the 2017 calendar, and I'm saying to Jesus, Jesus, where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to not to go? I've got to have my little gaps. I've got to have what we call, you've got to have, when you're planning, child of God, you have to have what we call, what do they call it? Help me, Lord Jesus, margin. You've got to have margin. If you understand what I mean by margin, don't fill up your calendar so much, child of God. Margin is where the Holy Spirit can so move around. You've got to be so flexible. You've got to be so led and guided by the precious Holy Spirit. I like to do things in pencil, child of God. Do you understand? In pencil. Like a pastor friend of mine, he was struggling in this area. And he said to me, Manny, can you look at my calendar? I said to him, I'm going to look at your calendar and I'm going to find a spot for you. But for you, when I find the spot, I'm not going to put it in pencil, I'm going to put it in ink. He said, go ahead, Manny. I'll put it in ink. And when he had done what he had to do, he said to me, Manny, you know what? I did it. I was with a pastor recently. I won't even tell you the church. One of these many churches that I go to. And at the end, after our time, I come back to South Africa, come back to Joburg. I was somewhere else. And he heard the word of the Lord. I don't force anyone. But I spoke to him about a devotion. When I was leading this church, child of God, for over 25 years, friends, I went to farm day on Thursdays. And I never took anyone with me. I went there on my own. Shut the door, friends, an inner room, an inner place. It could be the farm, it could be a garden, it could be a mountain, it could be a bedroom. I don't care where it may be, child of God. It's vital and important that you and I have a place where we can hear His voice. He wants to speak to us. And child of God, I know He can speak to us in any kind of way, but there is a posture that is very important for us. For example, worship is so critical to God, friends. Worship, and worship is not just singing songs. Worship is even whatever I do, friends. Worship. As a father, as a husband, as whatever aspect of work, worship. But this aspect of worship, this aspect of humility, humble, be humble, child of God. Bow yourself. Most of the times in the Bible, it talks about we come and we bow. Let us bow before the Lord in worship. You bow yourself, friends. We humble ourselves. Don't be proud. God hates the proud. God is against the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Child of God, and we need a place that is quiet. You need quietness. I love that scripture Hilton reminded me of. He said, what is it, Hilton? He said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Our vision, even for NCMI, even as a church, you'll hear Brad saying many times, is to know Him and to make Him known. How can we make Him known if we don't know Him? Be still and know that He is God. He's got things to say to us, child of God. He's got things to say to us. So this guy, friends, Solomon, said he talks about this discerning heart. And in the original, it talks about a hearing heart, friends. Something very interesting about this hearing heart is that Solomon asked for it. Child of God, I want you and I to ask Him for that. Jesus is saying to us today, this morning, you can ask Me for anything and I will give it to you. Please, just put aside your own things. Ask Him for this. Ask Him. Ask Him. I cannot do it. Ask Him. I cannot do it for you. Ask Him for a hearing heart. I have been asking Him for a hearing heart. And there have been a lot of things going on, boy. Later, this passage here of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. And this is a picture. I've shared it before with you. It says, I've got a little heading. It says, the Lord's obedient servant. That's talking about Jesus. This is a prophetic picture about Jesus. And it says, the sovereign Lord, talking about Jesus, has given me a well-instructed tongue. The Amplified says, a word in season to sustain the weary. I'm asking the Lord, Lord, grant me a word. Going to different churches, going to different contexts, wherever it may be. Being involved in apostolic interventions. You don't even understand what that is when pastors are fighting with pastors. When there's church problems, apostolic intervention. You've got to go in there by the grace of God, and we've got to hear God because He loves His church. You understand the ways of the enemy, friends. His strategy is, friends, you strike the shepherd, you will scatter the sheep. So that's why the shepherds are very, very important to God. Very important. But in any case, that's by and by. So it says this, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know a word in season that sustains the weary. And I'm finding that God has given me words. A word in season that sustains the weary. One of them, for example, is, and that's why I get so carried away, is this aspect of lessons from a storm. Lessons from a storm. Wherever I go, I'm finding that's one of the messages God gave me to share with the people. Lessons from a storm. What do you mean, man? If you go to the storm of, for example, in Matthew chapter 14, there was a storm, friends. But this storm, friends, Jesus is up in the mountain and there's a boat. They're out in the boat, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, the waves come, and they are high waves. And then what actually happens, friend, there's a storm, but Jesus is up in the mountains, and I want you to know, whatever situation you and I are in, friends, Jesus comes walking. He hears, He knows what's going on, friends, and Jesus comes, and He comes walking on the water. Peter says to Jesus, Jesus, if it is You, let me come walking on the water. Peter got out that boat, started to walk on the water. But something happened with Peter. When Peter's eyes were on Jesus, everything was fine. But what happened is, friends, he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Child of God, God is saying, keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Him. Keep your focus on Him. Then there was the other storm, which is in Mark chapter 4. is the story about this particular storm, but Jesus is in the back of the boat. He's in the back of the boat and he's sleeping. I love the picture, but the Bible says he's sleeping on a cushion. And then the storms come and the waves come, friends. And all of a sudden, friends, the disciples are screaming, but Jesus is at the back there on this cushion and he's just... He was weary, the Bible says. I'm sure he also snored. He's on a cushion, friends, and he's taking it easy there. But Jesus woke up in that storm. Child of God, whatever you and I are going through, you must know that Jesus is very observant, friends. And his response was not to the fear of the storm. His response was to the cry of compassion from those disciples, friends. And Jesus comes there. But Jesus said something to them. And he spoke to that storm. He said, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." And of course, they marveled and they said, "Who is this guy?" But also in the storm, friends, God spoke to him and said to Jesus said to these guys in that boat, he said, "We're going to cross over to the other side." You and I, friends, no matter what storms you and I go through as a church, as a people, as a nation, whatever the case may be, we will go through and cross the other side. We will fulfill the destiny that God has for us. But let me just pause and move away from that. Finish up on what I said. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know a word in season that sustains the weary. How does it happen? Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen like one who's being taught. I cannot explain it to you, child of God. I don't understand it. I know he can speak to us at any time of the day. But there's something about the mornings. And I'm praying, and I've been praying for you, that your sleeping habits are going to change big time. Please don't look at me like that. I've said it to you before. Your sleeping habits are going to change, child of God. And please don't, when you're so restless in the early hours of the morning, and don't think about you've had too much cheese or you've had too much steak or so much protein, friends, that's the reason why you can't sleep, because Jesus is wanting your attention. He's wanting my attention. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 13 through to verse 15, I want to look at the opposite condition of a hearing heart. What is the opposite? In the Old Testament and the New Testament, has much to say about people who are spiritually deaf. In the words of Jesus, he says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. Then they hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them." There was a spiritual deafness, child of God. May God heal us from a spiritual deafness. And he uses those words calloused, or uses those words in verse 15 about being hardened, a hardened heart. A heart that does not respond to God. A heart that is not sensitive any longer to him. When you're hearing God from the heart, child of God, you and I need to be very sensitive to him. You know, the precious Holy Spirit lives inside of us. You know, God chose it to be so, friends, to put his Holy Spirit inside of us. Do you know that this body, as a believer, friends, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives on the inside of us. And that's why I was praying earlier on, child of God. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, let there be no unforgiveness. Let there be no bitterness. Let there be no, sins that go on, friends, that aren't covered by the blood of Jesus. Put it under the blood of Jesus, friends. Unrepentant sins. When you and I carry on going our own separate way, that's going to hinder us from hearing the voice of God. Put it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us not be like those children of Israel, where the Bible says, "Today, when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And then the Bible says, for 40 years, friends, they went around and around and around, and they did not enter into the inheritance because they hardened their hearts against Almighty God. God wants you and I to cultivate a sensitive heart. I think I might have shared the story about And it's true. They say that there's a bank. There are banks today that have safes. And these particular safes are programmed electronically. They only open at the voice of the bank manager. It reminds me, every time I think of this, reminds me of Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 27, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice." He says, "I know them. I acknowledge them. I know them. I recognize them." And he says, "They follow me." You and I cannot follow Jesus unless you and I hear his voice. And that manager, friends, when he speaks to that safe, friends, electronically, it will respond only to one voice, and it's the voice of the manager. And friends, God himself has given us, you and I, a safe, and it must respond to only one voice, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. A heart is a treasure. I think of Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above all else, guard your hearts, for out of it comes the issues of life." Comes the issues of life. Guard your heart. Don't open your heart to any Tom, Dick, and Harry. Jesus knows, friends. Jesus understands. Jesus is merciful. Jesus is compassionate. There is no one like him, friends. There is no one like him. You can open up your heart to him. This hearing heart. I'm praying that God would give us this hearing heart in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was, in one of my Bible readings this morning, so I was talking to you about sometimes just how God prepares me. And I have a Bible reading. I have a Bible reading plan. And I have it in my Bible. By the grace of God, I read it. By the grace of God, I say, every single day of my life, I read the Bible. But you know, child of God, when I say that, and I said it to you before, there are Bible schools and there are seminaries that spend so much time training people how to speak, but seldom do they train people how to hear God's voice. Do you know that you and I can read the Bible, and yet you could still not hear His voice? I said it, friends, before, that there are many people looking for faith here and there and everywhere. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the words of Jesus Christ. It's that rhema word. It's when something jumps up. It's a spoken word of God. We need that, child of God. God doesn't want you and I to be babies anymore. God wants you and I to be mature sons and daughters of God. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 14, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. He leads us and He guides us. A child of God, unless we hear His voice, we are not going to have anything to say. And then I also have in my Bible, I have what I call a daily Bible reading. This is something that Manny goes through every single day. I'm going to it, and if you want this, you can also have this. But don't ask me for it. I want you to ask John or Hilton, okay? You can have this. This is revised. But by the grace of God, I go through this on a daily basis. Now, I'm going to explain to you why I go through this on a daily basis. So I read my Bible. And I go through this little prayer. Why I'm going through this little prayer? This little prayer for me is very, very important, very, very scriptural, very important, because I want to go to a place, friends, and I want to silence all the other voices that come my way. I want to take authority over them. For example, I start off in this particular prayer. I say, and I've quoted it already this morning, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the new life-giving way that Christ has opened for us through the sacred curtain by means of his death for us. Never forget, child of God, if I just move a little bit, you don't mind. Never forget, child of God, that you and I have access to the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I must always have a picture of Jesus at the right-hand side of the Father, ever living to intercede for you and I. Never forget your position. This is our position. Your position before the Father in Jesus Christ. You are holy, you are pure, you are perfect, you are complete, you are without sin. That's your position. But yeah, friends, here in Glenfinnes, in Midrand, in Johannesburg, this is our condition. This is your justification. It happens once. Never forget that. You don't have to be born again, again, and again, and again. It happens once, never to be repeated ever, ever again. But yeah, friends, here in Midrand or in Johannesburg, this is our condition. We are a work in progress. God is still working within us. Then I go through an aspect where I talk about where this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. You come because of what Jesus has done confidently. And that word confidently means, friends, that you can come with a boldness of speech. You can come with a freedom of speech, with an unreservedness of speech. You can come free and fearless. You can come with a free and fearless confidence with nothing to hide or to be ashamed of. That's incredible. Freedom to say what you want to say. The writer is saying you come into Father's presence with a freedom of speech. You hold nothing back. You ask boldly. And then I'm just running through the aspects here. I'm always reminding myself about the blood of Jesus Christ. And then I pray a prayer, something that goes something like this, child of God, where I start to ask the Lord to take authority over my thought life. You know, I'll say something like this. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to silence my own thoughts. This is what I pray every day. Why silence my own thoughts? I don't want my thoughts. I want His thoughts. Because His thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His ways so much higher than our ways. And His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. Then it goes through my desires, my opinions of others, preconceived ideas and presumptions. Preconceived ideas, perceptions, which I call, friends, my wife and I call them, they're the lies of the devil, child of God. The devil plays games with you and I. Preconceived ideas. A husband and a wife, parents with their children with their parents, whatever the case may be. Even in our interpersonal relationships, these preconceived ideas. Just because so-and-so, maybe, I don't know. He just walked right past me. He didn't say, hey, hi, but maybe he was thinking of something else. And then all of a sudden you will think, there's an issue. You know, then you're going to harbor some resentment. That's what happens with me, child of God. If it happens with me, it happens with you. Don't look at me like that. I'm talking to pastors. And I say, I didn't mean it. I was just thinking of something else. The lies of the devil. These preconceived ideas. The Bible talks about we demolish strongholds. And every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. And we bring it to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I come to the statement. I want to think every thought. I want to speak every word. I want to do every deed in an attitude of entire dependence upon the Holy Spirit's empowering energy. I just go through this little prayer. So I do this, friends, on a daily basis, friends. And then what I started to do, and you know, as a church, this is one of the messages I've been sharing with you as a church. I have communion. I have breaking of bread. How often, Manny? This just happened last year to me. By the grace of God, every day. I said to Jesus, I want to do this every day. Why, Manny? Why? Because Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. I do it, friends. I have the breaking bread. It reminds me that Satan is defeated. It reminds me, friends, our sins are forgiven. It reminds us, friends, that we have right standing with God. It reminds us, friends, you and I have access. It reminds us, friends, that you and I have breakthrough. It reminds us, friends, it reminds me of the coming of Jesus Christ. He says, do this until I come. It reminds me, friends, that I'm one together with Him. It reminds me, friends, that I am not owned by Satan anymore. Because the Bible, as I've said passionately, He bought you and I. He purchased you and I. You know, He redeemed us. He purchased us. How expensive are you? You are very, very expensive. How expensive? He did not purchase you and I with gold and with silver, but with the precious life-giving blood of the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So I go through this prayer. I remind myself, friends, of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, where it says there's only one God. One God. And there's only one mediator that can reconcile God and the people. He's the man, Christ Jesus. And then it says these beautiful words. He bought Jesus. He bought freedom for us, from every aspect of sins, the pollution of sin, from the punishment of sin, from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, from the presence of sin, from the prison of sin, from the pleasure of sin, from the poison of sin. Friends, I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded, friends, that the Holy Spirit lives inside. He's identified you and I as His own. I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray for us. I want to just come to an end with. I want to carry on. I want to talk about some little practical things even this afternoon. I'm not forcing you or trying to advertise about coming this afternoon. But I want to just want to carry on with this theme. I want us to see some people in the scriptures, how they heard God, that certain kinds of positions, there were places, there was a time and a place where God would speak to them. I can't understand it. God is unique. You can't, He's just so beautiful. You've got to believe it. This week, I'm reading this week, it's part of my Bible reading, and I'm reading about the story about this guy called Samuel. This is part of my reading. There was a lady, friends, Hannah. She could not have any children. She cries to God, boy. She cries to God. She cries to God. And then God says to her that I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to give you a child. And then she says that when the Lord gives me the son, I'm going to give the son back to you. And his name is called Samuel. And then it says this in 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, meanwhile, the boy, Samuel, was serving the Lord by assisting Eli, the priest. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were rare and visions were quite uncommon. Then it just goes down, friends. He has this young guy. He's Samuel. I don't know how old. He's a teenager. And he's just sleeping away. Friends, he's going to wake you and I up, boy. He's going to change your sleeping patterns, boy. He wakes him up and he says, Samuel. Samuel, so Samuel wakes up and he goes to Eli. He says, you called me. He says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He goes back to bed. The Lord calls him again. Samuel, Samuel. He goes back to Eli. He says, Eli, says, you called me. It happens the third time. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So now the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli. Here I am, he said. What do you need? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls you again, say, yes, Lord, your servant is listening. And you and I have got to read this passage on. It's incredible. So then the next time the Lord says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel says, Lord, your servant is listening. And I've got my Bible here. In my Bible, it's got to the Lord speaks to Samuel. And I've got another heading from verse 15 onwards. Samuel speaks for the Lord. You've got to get the picture. Samuel, the Lord speaks to Samuel. Then Samuel speaks for the Lord. And I feel with all my heart that God is wanting you and I to speak for Him in your offices, on the sports field, moms and dads, children, your schools, I don't care where it may be, He's wanting to speak to us. He's wanting to share things with us. He's wanting to sustain us, friends. He's wanting to give us direction. He's wanting to give us that word in season that will sustain the weary. As I close, friends, there is a particular scripture that's just it's a beautiful scripture. But out of Psalm 27, verse 8, from the New Living Translation, then I'm going to read it from the NIV translation. From the New Living Translation, it says, my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. My heart responds, Lord, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I'm coming. I remember the Lord said to me clearly, Manny, there's a greater longing in my heart for you than in your heart for me. Let me read it from the NIV translation. It says, you have said, seek my face, child of God. Before, you know, sometimes we're all guilty of it. We seek His hand before we seek face. Can I ask you, please, in the name of Jesus, may the Holy Spirit help to bring that incredible shift. Seek His face first. Seek his face, child of God. Seek his face. He says, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. I want to pray for us, church. Something happened to me yesterday. I've been asking the Lord to do this. I've been asking, because it says there, and I've said it, says, ask him for a listening or a hearing heart. A hearing heart. Ask him. Ask him, church. Ask him. Say, Lord, I'm asking you for a hearing heart. Can I also ask you, when he speaks, will you act in obedience? Will you just do what he tells you to do? I've been asking the Lord to do this. He's changed my sleeping habits. I didn't know this, and I can't share the details. But last night, for example, I mean, I just go to bed. I'm just getting myself ready. I set my alarm clock for 5 o'clock. That's just one of the times. I set it for 5 o'clock to wake up. I'm going to have my time with Jesus. It's just one of the things I do. Many, many times, friends, he wakes me up before the alarm goes off. I'm just sharing, just honestly, but last night was something different, boy. I had visions from God last night on my bed. I have no words to describe it. I was sobbing. I just said to Dawn, Dawn said, what is going on? Because often she'll say, is it a nightmare? Was it a sexual thing? Was it, I'm just being honest, what happens, you know? Is it one of those kinds of things? Is it a bad dream? Is it a good thing? She panics like this. I said, Dawn, I just used the word. I said, it was incredible. It was incredible. It was incredible. I just didn't want it to stop. It just was incredible. And then she said something to me. Dawn said to me, Manny, write it down. Write it down. So I said, Lord, it's very hard to write these things down. It's just, I don't have words to describe it. How can I write these things down? But I did put on my gown. I go into, I'm fortunate there's another room at the end of the house. And I just went there. I took a pad, put some lights and closed the curtains there. And I just started to write certain things. And I don't know if I've got the liberty to share all of it or some of those things. I don't know. But I just felt something of just that longing that God wants to speak. I said, you know, Lord, I said, I've been asking for a hearing heart. You're speaking. I felt the Lord's wanting a fresh anointing upon our lives, child of God. I felt these words just coming to me. These words that just came as I'm lying on my bed and going to the little room. He says there, just heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you received, freely give. He says, heal the brokenhearted, give sight to the blind, set the prisoners free. Set them, those that are free in captivity, who are bruised, broken, crushed, downtrodden, in despair. Set them free. Preach the acceptable year of the Lord's favor. Preach. Preach to the people. And the day of vengeance of our God. I just felt the Lord just saying that out of Isaiah 61. And of course, the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 8. And that was just a little glimpse. I just felt that just God. I just felt, I said, I was afraid. I'm just being honest. I said, God, I'm so scared. I'm so scared because it happened to me way back in my first year as a Christian. Something happened to me in my first year of Christian, but I don't want to talk about it. It was so powerful. It was so powerful. I said to Jesus, please, Lord, I can't take this anymore. I can't handle it anymore. And it lifted. And I said to Jesus, I said, would you do it again? But I said, Lord, please, I'm asking you to protect your people, to protect us from pride. Don't let them think it's us doing it. Do you know what I mean? The superstars, don't let, it's all going to be pointed to you. It's you that does this kind of stuff. I said, Lord, just protect us. Can we all stand, please? In Jesus' name. Friend of mine last week sent me a message, a pastor friend of mine. He sends messages to pastors all over the place, and he sent this to me. It's on a, what they call like a broadcast. So it's just, he sent this to me. And the heading was Receiving God's Word. And then he said something like this. He said, it's like hearing. Hearing is conception. Please remember this. Hearing is like a conception that takes place. It's hearing is the start, the conception. You know, like a woman that is, you know, before there's the birth. There's a pregnancy. Before there's the pregnancy, help me, a child of God. There's a conception. Something takes place. Hearing God's word is like that. Seeds have been sown today. Then it says this. We need to incubate it through the pregnancy to the birth and then raise the child. Sometimes it can take 30 years like Jesus. Preach the seed powerfully today. Preach the seed powerfully today. God's seed has been sown today. Hear his word.